Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Yeah. Happy hour. Wow. I can see why you had so many fucking cocktails this week on Instagram, Travis, because this was a week.
It was a week.
Between Kyrsten Sinema, the Supreme Court.
Oi.
The pro-life court made a pro-death ruling so that you can continue to die of COVID in your workplace.
As you do.
It's been a week. So drink up, everybody. But all right, there was some bright lights. There was, right, the Oath Keepers seditious conspiracy, ladies and gentlemen.
That's a huge deal. Big fucking deal. I can say it here. It's a big fucking deal. Yes. Shit's going to get done.
We keep forgetting, since we have the little FCC-friendly show, that Joe Biden actually didn't bleep himself. He said this is a big fucking deal.
Right.
So this is a big fucking deal.
Big fucking deal.
Come on. Let's give it up for Merrick Garland on this one. And let's hope. Glenn Kirshner told us this week it's going all the way up. Justice is coming.
Well, let's see if it's successful.
Shut up, cock blocker.
Debbie Downer over there.
All right, listen. Uh-huh. We have Representative Robin Kelly from the great state of Illinois.
Yep.
Talk about a lot of stuff that's been going on this week. Mm-hmm. We have Brian Karam, our favorite.
Yes.
I think the reporter that Donald Trump hated with the heat of the most hot white hot sun.
Yes. Yep.
When he was a Playboy reporter.
But he was able to trick all of the January 6th people by saying, hey, I work for Playboy. Ooh, boobies.
Pussies. Yes. They were all the rioter. He was in the middle of the January 6th riot. Uh-huh. He has a new book about it, but he was like, look over here, pussy. And they were like, oh.
Playboy. Yeah.
Yeah. Can I get a free issue?
He also is the only other person that pointed out the thing I said.
What?
Why are you scaling the walls, you stupid motherfuckers? There's steps on either side. Like, what is that? Just to be cool? Pretend you're Spider-Man?
Idiot. They brought the ropes. We didn't bring these ropes for nothing.
Brian's like, you're going to break your neck, you fucking idiots.
Boy. Yeah.
All right. So anyway, all of that. It's a festive double-header happy hour.
Yep.
Drink up. Enjoy. We love you.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Good morning, Brian Karam.
Good morning, Evan. How you doing?
I'm good. Listen, we have to share some of the off-camera Betty White stories before we start, because I love to tell the truth, and so you were on to tell the truth with her.
Yeah, that was 1990 after I got out of jail, and it wasn't for anything nefarious other than withholding a source, and she didn't vote for me. She asked a lot of questions, but. She only asked one of me on camera, and that's if I interviewed the guy's brother. I said, no, I never did. But when we got off camera, we were talking, and, you sit around the craft service table eating. So I said, well, listen, I just wanted to tell you I really loved you as Sue Ann Evans in the Mary Tyler Moore Show. And she said, honey, what man doesn't love a nymphomaniac?
Oh, that's awesome. My God.
No, that endeared me to her immediately.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, we were just talking. Yeah, go ahead.
Then she returned with, well, when you were in jail, did you bend down and pick up the sandwich? And I said, you mean pick up the soap? And she says, well, everybody needs a snack.
Yeah, we were just talking about Bob Saget. What a stretch we've had. And the news just came out that Betty had a stroke. She'd had a stroke like 6 days
prior to her
death. Yeah. So it's a, but man, a couple of gut punches, but also just in the, you know, what you write about, Brian, and just sort of the general hellscape in which we now live post-Trump and mid-COVID. Yes, exactly.
This mid-COVID post-Trump dystopia.
Right.
Yes. you actually sued Donald Trump 3 times successfully to keep your press pass. So, joke, but he obviously did viscerally hate you when you were the Playboy correspondent.
I think he viscerally hated anybody who asked him a question he didn't want to answer.
Yeah.
Right.
But at the same time, he also liked to fight. So it was kind of a, 50 of this, 50 of that. I mean, he loved to hate people, and he loved how fighting with the press made him look good with his minions. But at the end of the day, no, he never liked anybody who was going to ask him stuff he couldn't answer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, you on Twitter said, I will never forget this, when someone said, will you commit to a peaceful transfer of power after the election? And he said, we're going to have to see what happens, which was his answer to everything, just about. Go ahead.
That was September 23rd, mm-hmm. About, 6 weeks, 8 weeks before the 6 weeks before the election.
Yeah.
And so if you were ever wondering who was behind the insurrection, he told you right there.
You tweeted, expel them from Congress, investigate, indict, prosecute anyone who denies it, everyone who continues the big lie, everyone who helped make it happen. They are not patriots. They are traitors. You wrote a great piece about, you just said, I was there the day they poisoned America. I think we can still recover. At first, I thought they were like a bunch of rowdy NFL fans. I was mistaken, but there's a path back to reality is what you write about. And that's what we keep talking about. Is there? What is the path when we have two sets of facts, when 71%, what did we say yesterday, Jody? 6% of Republicans think Joe Biden won.
Right.
Legitimately. COVID's a hoax. The vaccines don't work. On and on. Like, is there ever going to be one set of facts again in America?
Well, there's a couple things that you need to do. One is educate Americans better. Two, don't give voice to the, that's part of the problem in my profession as a reporter. We're always so used to being balanced, and we got to give both sides of the story.
Yeah.
No, you don't. You give both sides of the story when it comes to facts, if there are competing facts. But look, the Holocaust happened. The earth is round. Man landed on the moon. COVID is real, and Donald Trump lost the damn election.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm not going to give, I give short shrift no attention to anybody who claims otherwise. And to put them on the air and to let them spout their, quite frankly, cancerous opinions is beyond me.
The latest, Republican Senator Mike Rounds just said Trump lost the election, and you could hear the grasping of pearls from Republicans. Yeah. You're just like, this is where we are? That's considered controversial?
No, and they're not Republicans. I mean, there are Republicans like Joe Walsh who was considered conservative, member of the Tea Party.
Yeah.
And now he's a liberal. So that tells you how far to the right has the Republican Party gone. It's not a Republican Party, it's the fascist party. Recognize it, admit it, and go on with it. Now, if you want to be a fascist, fine. But you know what? Just admit it.
You said it on Twitter. And, we've talked before that my dad was an assistant prosecutor at Nuremberg. And you said you retweeted Washington Post headline. An Indiana GOP state senator said teachers need to be impartial during lessons about Nazism and fascism. And you said if you can't denounce Nazis, you are one. Mm-hmm. I mean, let's talk about one set of facts.
Yeah.
Nazis bad? Not a fact anymore? Nazis bad. We can't agree?
Well, if you want to be impartial about Nazis, fine. But here's the impartial truth. They were evil. So moving on.
Yes.
I acknowledge the fact that they were evil, and I acknowledge the fact they were fascist, and acknowledge the fact that they killed millions of people needlessly and created an entire world war. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Moving on. Well, this piece you wrote, Brian, speaking of, the reality of January 6th, that just, it was a peaceful tourist thing. And I love, you made one point that I was laughing about because I thought I was the only one that thought it. You said, as I watched a group trying to climb a wall near the Capitol, I shouted, because you were there. You said, Hey, you know, there's steps on either side. You don't have to pretend to be Spider-Man. Someone's going to break their neck. You said that prompted a half a dozen of them to approach me with menacing sneers. I thought the same thing. I'm like, why are you rappelling up the... There's steps right over... Okay. But
you know, I think what I actually said is, hey, moron.
Okay.
What are you doing?
That'll get someone's dander up.
Yes. You said they threatened to pound me into little patties of reporter's meat until they noticed I was carrying a press pass from Playboy, and then they became exactly like the guys you see at NFL games. One even asked me if I could get him into a Playboy party.
Yeah.
Another wanted to know if I could get him into the mansion.
Lord.
My God. Yeah. They just stopped mid-riot.
I did. Yeah. Well, they saw the press pass. They go, wait a minute. I said, hey, guys, wait a minute. You know, and I showed them. I said, Playboy. And they go, oh, Playboy. Wow.
Oh, see.
Yeah.
I knew how to appeal to them.
Yeah.
Visions of boobs danced in
exactly.
their heads.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right.
But you just said you've covered, I mean, obviously everything, Brian, in your career, wars, etc. And you just said, never had I seen Americans in such large numbers trying to kill and attack other Americans, and worse yet, at the literal center of our democracy. It's our friend Malcolm Nance's book, his new title, They Want to Kill Americans. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you were right in the middle of it. And you said, you talked about people saying, it's in the past, let's move forward. Something I hear almost every day. You said, I have a problem with this. I was there. I witnessed beatings. I saw them erect a scaffold and a hangman's noose. They were serious about dragging Pence out there and stringing him up. It sent a chill up my spine. I saw the vicious, uncontrolled, illogical anger vent itself on innocent victims. There can be no moving on without accountability. So how are you feeling about it, where we are, you know, vis-a-vis the January 6th committee, Garland speech? What do you think?
I'm concerned yet hopeful for the midterm elections. If the Democrats lose control of the House and the Senate in the midterms, we're screwed.
Yeah.
And like I said, you pointed out at the beginning of the book, Free the Press, that that's part of it. We're not doing our job as reporters. We cover everything as if it's an NFL game. We cover the wins and losses, who's ahead, and we never really look beyond the game aspect of it. And quite frankly, there are many reporters today that are too inept, don't have the experience, and don't really have the curiosity to do the job. And that's part and parcel because for 40 years, the federal government has dismantled the First Amendment, free speech, and the Fourth Estate. And mm-hmm. because of that, it's really increasingly difficult for us to get a handle on and frame the arguments for people to look at. And if we don't, if we allow politicians to frame the arguments, we're really screwed, because they're only going to frame it in terms of what does them, what makes them happy, what makes them, gets them most voters. And as Eric Swalwell, Congressman Swalwell, said once, and it sticks with me, he said, you know, the Republican Party, they're not looking at the people they serve as constituents, but as fans.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's what it is. It's a world, you know, it's like a WWE SmackDown. And that's dangerous for politics.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, as we keep saying every day here, they're going to both sides us right into fascism.
Mm-hmm.
You finish up in your piece, you just say, make them accountable in the here and now, punish them for their actions in the real world, top to bottom, everyone involved in the most un-American activity I've witnessed in the United States during my lifetime must be held accountable for their treasonous actions, expel every one of them who embraced the big lie. And you'd say the lessons of January cannot be learned until then. There's a national cry for it. There must be a sustained will to get it done. And that's where the we the people come in, right? Because, you know,
the illusion, did you?
Well, you know, Brian, I just...
I was trying to be so subtle.
But this latest, like, don't you feel like we get bombshell fatigue, whether it's about January 6th or whatever, this thing about, you know, at least three states forging electors' certificate? How is that not illegal? How does someone not go to jail for signing and falsifying electoral certificates that they send to the, United States and the archivist and on and on?
Well, yeah, good question. And the answer is, we don't have the wherewithal. Look, the problem is, you have the way society is today, and with the economy and with the pressures on the evaporating middle class, you have people so worried about getting their kids to school, getting them to the doctors, playing soccer practice, that I've got to make ends meet. My God, me and my wife both are working, blah, 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 blah. The idea of being involved in politics is an afterthought. And that's the problem is, because we aren't more involved in politics, it is destroying the rest of our lives. I mean, even in the best of elections, you have slightly more than half of the of the voters voting. You know, half of the registered voters don't vote. That's an anathema to the democratic process, because it doesn't matter who wins, a minority is ruling for the majority. Mm-hmm. So you have to become more involved. But to do that, you have to have you have to make sure that voters can vote. You should give them a day off to vote.
Yeah.
You should voting should encompass, you know, a week, a month. Do it online. Do it from, you know, your computer, whatever. It should be more easy. And unless it is easier, we're going to continue to have this problem, because people are overwhelmed, as you said, bombshell fatigue.
Well, but also, Brian, speaking of reporters, I always wish that reporters would interview. Well, I mean, Sinema never does interviews hardly, but Manchin, for instance. I mean, Nick Knudsen tweets, did you know the filibuster rule in the Senate has been reformed over 160 times, mm-hmm. including to pass corporate tax cuts and confirm extreme right-wing justices? The filibuster is not in the Constitution, but our right to vote is. Why doesn't anyone ever ask Manchin that in the middle of an interview?
Well,
why doesn't anyone say they blew it up to get their Supreme Court justices in? Why are you acting like this is the only time?
Don't get me started. I cover the White House, but I want to, you know, the few times when I've walked out in Congress, it's like, I want to, the first question I want to ask, you know, Marjorie Taylor Greene or Boebert or Jordan or Gates is, how does it, Mr. or Ms. So-and-so, how does it feel to be a complete ass and nobody thinks that you're worth a shit?
Brian Karam, on my little family radio show. All right, sir, we had to dump you.
Why are you such a... beat that out.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
But why are you that way? And
right.
And how does it feel to be a national disgrace? Those questions are never asked them.
Yeah.
Reporters walk up and act like, because they're elected to office, that they have suddenly this, you know, they're credible where they weren't before. And they're still not.
Don't get me wrong. I want to ask her exactly that, but just not anything regulated by the FCC. So I'm with you entirely. But yeah, I mean, Brian Tyler Cohen, while Republicans pretend to clutch their pearls over the sanctity of the filibuster, just remember every single one of them voted for rules change to confirm their SCOTUS nominees with a simple majority. I've not heard one reporter, Jody, or Brian ask any of them that. Any Republican, Mitch McConnell, when they spout their bull... Thank you, I have a bleep button.
You have a beeper, Dick.
Yeah. Yes, I am. But seriously, what? That's where the press falls down, Brian, which is what you write about in Free the Press. They have a part in all this. Why is every story Biden bad, Democrats in disarray, when he provably has an economic record the best in 50 years or whatever? I just don't get it the way, you know, press...
start with Richard Nixon and Roger Ailes. And then when Ronald Reagan came in, after Nixon was bounced out of office, Reagan made sure that he deregulated the industry and allowed us to buy each other up. And therefore, look, here's a couple of stats that'll tell you why reporting is bad. First of all, salaries have gone down. Most reporters are paid proportionally less now than they were in the 70s and in the 80s.
Yeah.
So you're not going to get the best people to begin with. Secondly, there are probably twice the number of people on this planet as on the day I was born, and there's half the number of reporters. To illustrate that fact, let's talk about one of the places I work, Laredo, Texas. When I worked down there, there were 100,000 people living in that county, Webb County, Texas. There were two English-speaking newspapers, one Spanish newspaper, and then three television stations. A fourth opened up while I was there. Four radio stations and two magazines all doing news. Today, there's three times the number of people. 300,000 people live in Laredo, Texas. There's one television station, one English-speaking newspaper, and nothing else.
Yeah.
So that's the problem. You need to break up media monopolies. You need more reporters. And you need to support reporting. And good reporting is anathema to, you know, our economic system. It's not, you know, best for the free market. It's not best for capitalism. It's not a good match. Because at some point in time, as a reporter, you're going to go after some of the very people who are, advertising with you.
Yep.
So there has to be government incentive to protect that reporting.
Yep.
And until there are those type of tax breaks and those type, and we break up media monopolies, we're going to continue to have this problem. And that's, so you're going to get people who know, look, It used to be I had to have 5 years experience before I could go anywhere. Now they're hiring, and this is true. This has happened to me several times in the White House. People are hired straight out of college to work the most important beat on the planet, the White House beat. No experience other than college. Yeah.
No, trust me. It just happens to us all the time. Someone like our age will be like, how do I get a radio show? I'm like, well, you don't just get one.
Right.
And
second of all,
snap your fingers.
Right.
And then tell them to go boop off.
Right. There you go. Brian Karam, the best way you can fight back is to buy the book, Free the Press, by our favorite Brian Karam. And also stay safe. I would keep that old Playboy badge to distract MAGAs like a laser pointer, right? Just, oh, look, see, over here. Look, over here. Thank you, Brian. Talk to you again soon.
Thank you very much.
All right. There he goes. Our favorite, Brian Karam.
Hey.
This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles, just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
Robin Kelly is here. Good morning, Representative Doctor, Dr. Representative.
Good morning. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. From the great state of Illinois, of course. Obviously, they were talking about accountability for January 6th. You had tweeted that you shared your January 6th story. You said, we're going to get to the bottom of what happened that day. We will hold those responsible accountable. Would you mind sharing what your, because I did not hear your January 6th story. Would you mind sharing?
No. I talked about last week, the day, January 6th, 2021, when I came to the Capitol. Little did I know that shortly after, I would be on my hands and knees with other colleagues, staffers, reporters, cameramen, hoping that we all got out alive and in one piece. And thank God, you know, that we did. You know, we were there to watch the certification. And the next thing we know, we see leaders being rushed out. We're told to put on gas masks that we didn't even know were under the seats, and we might have to hide under the seats. We ran from the one side of the gallery to the other side. Somebody was thinking that, you know, if we were on the Republican side, they would think we were Republicans. But, you know, as a person later realized, there were like 7 or 8 CBC members. We had other people of color. They would know that all of us were not, you know, Republicans. And so we either laid flat, laid on our hands and knees. Then we heard, you know, we heard the gunshot, which paused everything, and that's what allowed the Capitol Police to come and get us. And we ran downstairs and through hallways to get to the undisclosed location. So, I mean, we formed something called the Gallery Group, and those we were the last people that, you know, that got out. And so we, for a year, have really embraced each other, supported each other. There have been sessions with counselors, for group counseling for some, and for some this really brought up other things. So we didn't realize how serious it was until we actually saw the news, because we were on the inside. But one, you know, good piece of news that we prevailed, and the election was certified. So democracy did win at the end.
Yeah. And Representative, it strikes me, I know Chairman Schiff and others have talked about, Chairman Schiff said one of his Republican colleagues said to him, you've got to you know, come over here or get on this side. Like, they'll recognize you. Right. I can talk to these people, but they're going to recognize you. You have to, you know, the reports, the Democrats went to the Republican side because they thought they'd be less likely to be shot. And, you know, and yet you tweet today, one of the most frustrating disappointments this past year has been watching Republicans who privately admit the danger of Donald Trump and his followers and refuse to speak up publicly. Not just that, the 180 they've done from a year ago. From all being in danger with you and knowing the danger of Trump and his supporters.
So disappointing.
Yeah.
And, you know, there was one Republican I spoke to, and I said, how do you feel? It was Inauguration Day. And he says, so relieved, you know, that Donald Trump wasn't the president anymore. And that's it. You're right. That's the thing that is so frustrating, you know, that you don't speak up. But, you know, there's history of bad things happening and good people not speaking up, and bad things continue to happen, you know. So it is very frustrating. It's very disappointing the way some people vote, and they know that it's not, like, to not vote for the infrastructure bill, to not vote to certify President Biden. I mean, that's just simply ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, and you obviously talked about voting for the John Lewis Voting Rights Bill. The fact that we have 400 bills that are based on this big lie, you know, that obviously started this, whatever we want to call it, insurrection a year ago. You said throughout the past year, lawmakers around the country have introduced more than 400 bills that would restrict the right to vote in 18 states.
Right.
Anti-voter bills have already been signed into law. The John Lewis Voting Rights Advancement Act will protect American voters regardless of which state they call home. How are you feeling about this morning? I mean, today may be the day in the Senate, and we've heard a lot of talk and, you know, Joe Manchin's latest whatever movement or not on, you know, changing rules or carving out something for voting rights. How are you feeling today about this?
Well, the interesting part is the Freedom to Vote Act, which is the vote in the Senate, is Joe Manchin and Amy Klobuchar's bill.
Yes.
So, and it, you know, it expands automatic voter registration, same day registration, strengthening vote by mail, early voting, establishing Election Day as a national holiday, you know, on and on and on. So, you know, unless if we don't get what is he going to vote against, his own bill? You know, we're trying to change the ruling. So, like, for the budget for, you know, voting rights, you don't need 60 senators. So if he doesn't vote for that, then he's actually torpedoing his own bill. I don't understand him, or frankly my former colleague in the House, Sinema. You know, I just don't get it. You're taking the right to vote away from so many people, or the ease of voting. Why are we making it so hard? We're supposed to be the greatest democracy in the world, and yet we're making voting so terribly difficult.
Right. Yeah. What was your reaction to the president's speech? I certainly heard a lot of, you know, even former head of the NAACP that said he thought he hit it out of the park. What was your reaction?
I thought he did a great job. You know, some people have said, well, he said he was going to, you know, have unity, and then he does this. But he's tried and tried and tried. And you only can have unity if the other people will meet you not even halfway, meet them a quarter of the way, you know, and they just have not done that. It's just been resist, 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 because they smell blood in the water for November 2022. So they do not, you know, want to cooperate. But I feel like he did a good job. And, you know, now we have to, you know, put as much pressure as we can on folks to vote. And, you know, the thing is, he's not a legislator, so hopefully he can use the power of his office to change a few minds. And even, you know, when I think about some of the Republicans, like Susan Collins and Mitt Romney, and supposedly more of the moderates, why aren't they voting for it?
Yep.
You know, I mean, we're giving them a break. You know, we should be on Manchin and Sinema, but we should be on them also.
Yeah, 16 of them voted for it in the past, right, as recently as under George W. Bush. Why isn't anyone asking them, why are you against voting rights now when we really need it, right?
I know. But that's what you guys got to do. You got to stay on.
That's right. It's up to me. Yes. Doctor, Doctor Representative, I'm going to key on the doctor part, because, I mean, we are in a full-blown emergency. You know, according to, by the way, even the World Health Organization just said, we still have a huge amount of uncertainty and a virus that is evolving quite quickly, imposing new challenges. We are certainly not at the point where we're able to call this an endemic. It may become endemic in due course, but pinning that down to 2022 is a little difficult at this stage. And here it is, the key. Widespread vaccination uptake will be very, very key in moving forward such a scenario, and we're still a ways off from that. And here we are. I wanted to run one tweet by you. Jane Jones tweeted, hundreds of high school students in Brooklyn, New York walked out today in protest regarding the dire situation with COVID sickness, staff shortages, overcrowding. I wondered how long it would take before this would happen. It is chaos, and they're forcing in-person school. What is your take on that? I mean, I feel like vaccination is the key, and it's right there to all of this.
Oh.
Why do kids not have to be vaccinated like they're vaccinated for every other disease we've ever eradicated through disease in this country?
Right. I think that, you know, government can only do so much. I do think kids need to be vaccinated, but like we have sent so much money back, resources and things like that. But, you know, unless there's a mandate, we can't make people get vaccinations. And I don't know if people aren't listening that the people in the hospital are the unvaccinated. The people dying are the unvaccinated. Yeah. I don't know, you know, why that is so hard to understand. And then, you know, but I know people, like one of my friends just told me that none of her grandchildren are vaccinated, and she's so fearful, but they have no vaccinations, you know, for anything. And you know, I don't know. It's just been so politicized, you know, COVID,
right.
And which is a shame, you know, because people are dying. I lost two family members to COVID when one was very early on in May 2020.
I'm so sorry. I was going to just quote one last quote for you before you go. J.P. Morgan CEO Jamie Dimon just said, to go to the office, you have to be vaxxed. And if you aren't going to get vaxxed, you won't be able to work in that office. And we're not going to pay you to not work in the office. I mean, if government can't do this, then I don't know what to do. We've got to do it ourselves. We've got to urge, like companies, like the United CEO made some great comments. I mean,
Definitely. We've
got to somehow do this ourselves, whether it's individual airlines have to say you can't fly without being vaccinated. I don't know, but we aren't going to get over this unless we get enough people vaccinated.
No,
period.
I totally agree. And he's trying. Biden's trying to do the mandates like the governor of New York and, you know, other people. But look what happened. It wound up in the Supreme Court. I mean, they're just battling him every way, but that's what people need to realize, that we're all in this together and everybody needs to do their part.
Yep. Doctor in all caps, Representative Robin Kelly of the great state of Illinois. Always a pleasure. Thanks so much for taking time for us.
Take care, you guys. Have a great day.
All right, you too. Bye-bye.